It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 51 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
Several weeks ago, Fantasy Flight released an article spoiling cards from the upcoming Sea Rock Cruiser, the new Scum epic ship.
Yeah, the past few weeks we've been catching up on all the X-Wing events happening and taking some time to talk about ourselves. So now it's time to take a step back and get caught up on the news articles we've missed.
This article included information about a lot of cards related to X-Wing epic play, but there were several upgrade cards that will be usable in standard X-Wing dogfights. So a lot of cool stuff coming out of this article.
Yeah, I think we should start with the epic X-Wing cards and then move on to the less exciting non-epic, just regular vanilla X-Wing cards.
All right, let's get to it.
Well, let's start off with the Sea Rock Cruiser card, the 35-point Scum epic ship. We finally got it. This is a small-sized platform for the epic ships, meaning it's got just one set of hull and shields and just one card for upgrades.
Yeah, it's a single, I'd call it a single-segment epic ship, much like the Rebel Transport or the Gazanti Freighter, which just have a single segment and a single pilot card, whereas ships like the CR-90 Corvette or the Imperial Raider are two segments and have two different pilot cards for each, the fore and aft sections of the ship.
Right. I mean, this ship is still going to take damage on both sides differently, like the Rebel Transport or the Gazanti class. This ship actually has a ton of upgrade options, as well as some pretty sweet action icons. It's got a pilot skill of 1, which is the lowest we've seen for an epic ship. The Gazanti's at pilot skill 2, and the Rebel Transport's at pilot skill 3, and then the Corvette and Raider are both at pilot skill 4. So the Scum small epic ship comes in at the lowest pilot skill. It's got 4 energy, no agility, like all epic ships, 10 hull and 4 shields, and then it's got the recover action, the brace or reinforce action, the target lock action, and the jam action.
It also has a upgrade bar, including 2 crew slots, a hardpoint, a team slot, and 3 cargo slots.
Yeah, I want to start with that hardpoint slot. The Rebel Transport had no hardpoint options, and so it had no traditional offensive output. It was purely a support ship. The Gazanti had a hardpoint slot, giving it some offensive output, as well as being able to do its fancy transporting small ships and then deploying them. Here, I feel like the Sea Rock is going to fit somewhere in between those two ships. It's got a lot of upgrade slots for support roles, but it also does have that hardpoint slot and the target lock action, allowing it to push out some decent damage if you equip it properly. Although that jam action is also pretty spicy when you pair it with slicer tools, which is what the Rebel Transport had to rely on. The jam action gives nearby ships stress tokens, and then when paired with slicer tools, you can target nearby ships and deal them direct damage, which was the only way the Rebel Transport could do damage. The Sea Rock now can use that combination as well as whatever hardpoint you equip it with to deal more damage, making the Sea Rock decently effective in damage output.
Coinciding offensively with that hardpoint, there is a new hardpoint upgrade card called Heavy Laser Turret. This is for the Sea Rock Cruiser only, and it reads, attack energy. Spend 2 energy from this card to perform this attack against one ship, even a ship outside your firing arc. Has 4 attack dice and works at range 2-3 and comes in at 5 squad points.
I think this is a pretty big game changer for epic play in general.
Yeah, we haven't seen yet any hardpoints that actually function as turrets. All the other weapon batteries and whatnot always function within the dedicated hardpoint firing arcs.
Yeah, and range 2-3 is pretty good, especially for a turret. The big question is, how is this going to work on these smaller epic ships as far as that turret on the hardpoint? On the large ship, it's clear which hardpoint is used based off the 2 different cards depicting where you place it. And so it's obviously only going to be around that base regarding that section of the ship. Whereas here, like, we know there's the hardpoint for traditional fire arc weapons based off the firing arc provided on the base. But does the turret range only apply to that front base, or would it apply to both bases?
Yeah, like a standard small or large base X-Wing ship, if they have a primary weapon turret or they're using a turret weapon, you're measuring from anywhere on that base. We don't have the ruling on this, but it seems a little weird like you'd be able to use that range 2-3 turret from anywhere on this fairly large epic base.
Yeah, I'm hoping in the next article we get a nice diagram showing where range is measured from on that hardpoint. Although the Sea Rock cruiser has a pretty wide firing arc, so the turret's not necessarily needed. It's got almost a 180 firing arc on its forward base, whereas the Gazanti's got a much more narrower firing arc, so I could see you putting that heavy laser turret to good use, definitely on a Gazanti. I also could see a Rebel Corvette doubling down, using your primary weapon turret, and then supporting that with the heavy laser turret. I think that seems pretty nice.
Unfortunately, the heavy laser turret's only for the Sea Rock cruiser, so I don't think you can do that.
Oh. Well, I should read better. Oh, that's very interesting. Darn, I was really hoping to put that on Gazanti. All right, well then, let's move on, because apparently the heavy laser turret only applies to the Sea Rock, although I think that's pretty sweet.
It limits the effect it'll have on kind of the epic metagame, whereas a new upgrade card like this could have crazy application if it was just available on all ships with hardpoints.
I was really hoping for the crazy application, but I'll settle for that. So 5 points onto the 35 base, that's 40 points. That still leaves you 10 points for upgrades. I think you probably want to run this around 50-ish points, and I think it's pretty effective there, because then you could run two of these around the cost of a Raider without any upgrades. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, and to use up those remaining points you have the Merchant One title, which adds one energy to your ship. This is, of course, Sea Rock Cruiser only. It's a title that reads, your upgrade bar gains one additional crew upgrade icon and one additional team upgrade icon and loses one cargo upgrade icon. And this comes in at 2 squad points.
Yeah, so this is pretty sweet. Just allows you to reconfigure your upgrade bar for potentially more of a support role. I mean, always one of your cargo slots is dedicated to those gas supply canisters. So you need to keep at least one of those. But the ship does come with 3, so you might not always fill that up. And those crew and team slots are really nice, especially since Scum has access to so many really cheap crew options. You can probably fit some pretty nice combos on here. I mean, you could definitely put Zuckuss, Forlom, Dengar on with that Merchant One title, turn this into the super party bus, or I think the Minox called it the party yacht, getting all those rerolls, locking down focus tokens. Annoyingly, epic ships can't get stress tokens, so Zuckuss seems potentially more broken in epic than he is in regular X-Wing.
Yeah, Zuckuss is already kind of, I would say actually definitely broken in standard X-Wing play, because his negative effect doesn't really affect the ships people want to use him on. And then in epic, if you can't actually take stress, there's really no downside to forcing your opponent to reroll all their evade results.
So actually, here's my thought. Take the whatever turret doubles their agility value, and then just take Zuckuss and make that not worth anything. That sounds great.
There's always the potential that by the time this releases, we maybe we'll have an updated FAQ that maybe tones down the Zuckuss crew card a little bit. I guess that's my hope.
Tim, it's nice that you're so young and hopeful still. For listeners, Tim's older than me.
Not by much. Also spoiled in this article, we had 2 new crew, Scum-only crew cards. One of them is huge ship only. One of them is not. So let's start with the huge ship only. We have Az Morrigan from the Rebels TV show. His card reads, at the start of the end phase, you may spend 1 energy to replace a face-up crew or team upgrade card you have equipped with another upgrade card of the same type of equal or fewer squad points. And this comes in at 2 squad points.
Yeah, so there's going to be a theme between these 2 crew cards. They kind of do similar effects where you get to swap out your upgrade cards. I've heard many X-Wing players ask for something like this, and as someone who also plays Magic, I also have been one of those players asking for cards like a sideboard that you get from Magic, where you, based on your matchup, get to swap out a few cards, adjust your list, allowing you to tune your list so that you're not getting hard countered, or so that you're able to more effectively hard counter exactly the list you're facing. And now that X-Wing has quite the volume of upgrade cards that are exceptionally good in certain matchups and not as effective in other matchups, this is a nice card where you get to swap this around. Now, this is only epic only.
Yeah, this is only for huge ships. It does have a cool ability, though. You do just have to spend 1 energy and you get to replace a crew or team card. And that could include, I would suppose, this card itself, because you don't actually have to discard this to use this ability, which is a little different than the other crew card.
And with both these cards, it's limited to the ship you have this equipped on. Now, As Morgan being limited to epic play only, I'm not sure how useful he'll be. I feel like you don't really care that much about matchups in epic. You kind of build a take all comers list anyways. Although I guess throwing in some tacticians might be nice if you've seen Imperial Aces.
But I think the other crew card that has a similar ability might see a lot of play since it's usable in standard X-Wing play. So this would probably be a good time to talk about the cards in this set that can be used in regular 100-point X-Wing dogfights. All right, Radio TCX patrons, it's time for a Patreon update.
And a raffle.
First, I will say we're still waiting on updates for when we can get those tokens and target locks back into production. We will keep you guys up to date as we learn more information. On the positive side, we do have two raffle winners for the month of February we'd like to announce right now.
In order to be eligible for this month's raffle, you would need to have backed the show by January 31st. If you back our show at any of our pledge levels, you'll get at least one raffle token into our monthly raffles.
So for the month of February, we're giving away a Red Ace alt art card from the current regional season. This is the prize for the top 64 performers. We are also giving away the double-sided full art Blue Squadron Novice / Epsilon Squadron Pilot promo card that was available at last year's System Open Series.
Yeah, we'll have to go again this year to stock up on those new ones to give out to our listeners.
So the winner of the Blue Squadron Novice Epsilon Squadron Full Art Double-Sided Promo is Ronald Batita. Congratulations, Ronald.
Hope you get to put that to good use.
And the winner of the Red Ace Alt Art card is Greg Jones. Congratulations, Greg.
Congratulations to our winner, and just want to say thank you again to all of our patron supporters.
If you would like to back the show, please go to patreon.com/radiotcx and start supporting the show today. And then you can be a part of next month's raffle.
All right, and now back to the cast.
So much like Asmorrigan, Cicatro Visago is a scum-only crew card and has a similar ability, but not exactly the same. It reads, at the start of the end phase, you may discard this card to replace a face-up illicit or cargo upgrade card that you have equipped with another upgrade card of the same type of equal or fewer squad points. And Cicatro Visago comes in at 0 squad points.
Right, so now we have a card specifically tailored to standard X-Wing, and at 0 points, this guy's probably going to see some competitive play.
Yeah, definitely. His ability is a little different than Asmorrigan, whereas Asmorrigan only has to spend an energy to replace a card. Cicatro actually has to be discarded, so you're only able to trigger this ability once.
Yeah, obviously you had to do it differently because small ships don't get energy, and I think you're really not going to do this more than once. That would be kind of annoying to be like, oh, wait, I'm going to flip my upgrade card. Okay, next turn, I'm going to get a different one. That just might become a little too much.
So the scum applications here are pretty diverse, given that you can swap out a cargo card for a different cargo card. But I want to look at what this actually means for X-Wing dogfights, swapping out this illicit card. As it stands, there are only 9 illicit cards available, which is actually fairly reasonable, given for this being, I guess it's not a new faction anymore. It's been out since, what, wave 6?
Yeah, I mean, now there's 10 waves out, so
my timeline's a little screwed up because we've had, like, 3 waves of X-Wing in 2016 alone, but
yeah, we're still a little shell-shocked from that.
Looking at the ability here, a lot of these illicit cards come in at similar point costs, so you're able to swap these as necessary. The ones I think you're probably not going to swap to, or if you'd swap to them, maybe it'd be very situationally, would be probably not going to have a hotshot blaster because that comes in at 3 points. And
well, are you taking hotshot blaster so that you can swap to any illicit you want?
As it stands right now, I mean, unless you really plan on using hotshot, you might as well just take one of the other 2-costed illicits because there's no other 3-cost illicits available right now.
Yeah, that probably makes sense.
There are a fair number of 2-point illicits, though. We've got things like Cloaking Device, Dead Man's Switch, the new upcoming EMP device, Feedback Ray.
The sweet, sweet Glitter Stim.
Glitter Stim, of course, and the Scavenger Crane. There's a lot of, actually, this ability is pretty cool because there's a lot of diversity here in what you could swap to, especially things like a Cloaking Device.
Right, and if you're facing like a heavy Alpha Strike list, Cloaking Device is a decent option to be like, okay, I just want to survive through that alpha and then I'll start doing damage. Or conversely, against an ace list, cards like Feedback Array are pretty awesome. Or of course, start with a Feedback Array and then after you've eaten all of your hull and you're about to die, swap to the Dead Man Switch for that extra point of damage.
Yeah, to me, that's the most thematic and interesting way you could use this, is just do a bunch of damage to yourself using the feedback array, and then, yeah, the turn before you're going to die, switch to dead man switch, and maybe throw out a couple more damage before you're done.
Now, this has to be on the ship you have Visago equipped with, so the ship needs to have both a crew slot and an illicit slot. So what are all the ships you can put this on?
So the ships that can actually utilize this ability that have both a crew slot and an illicit slot are the Jumpmaster 5000, the YV-666, Firespray, Lancer-class Pursuit Craft. Those are your large base ships. Then we also have the G1A Starfighter, the Hawk 290, and the Quad Jumper are your small base ships that can take both a crew and an illicit.
So that's seven ships. That's pretty good.
Yeah, there's a fair bit of application here. I think one thing we should note is the timing for when this ability triggers, because that will be very important in what you might want to swap to. Because the dead man switch idea seems appealing, but Cicatro Visago triggers during the end phase, so it's after combat has occurred. So you might not necessarily know exactly which turn you're going to die, making dead man switch maybe a slightly less appealing decision, unless you're on your, you know, very last hole come end phase of this round.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, sometimes you find yourself in situations where there's a cluster mine sitting right in front of you, and you know. And potentially that ship that bombed you is right in range as well, so you might as well slam that template right next to them and go out with a bang.
Yeah, there's so many applications here. I can't even begin to imagine what I would use this most for. Obviously, at 0 points, if I have an illicit slot and I happen to not be using my crew slot, it's an auto-include, much in the same way Chopper's an auto-include anytime you're not using a crew slot on a Rebel ship.
Right, so then let's get into, okay, tournament etiquette. Do I bring all of my illicit upgrade cards? Am I only allowed to bring a certain few? Do I have to show my opponent what illicit cards I brought at the start of the game?
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting. It's definitely something they'll have to include in the FAQ or updated tournament rules, exactly what the protocol is here, because we've never had an ability where you get to swap cards in your list during an X-Wing match.
And so now we've seen two cards for Scum, now spoiled it, get to do this. Do we think this is going to be a Scum-only mechanic, or is this something we might see introduced for all three teams?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a new gameplay mechanic. I think maybe in the same way that I expect to see a lot more condition cards start to appear going forward, I would expect more abilities like this, maybe not exactly like these, but comparable abilities to appear with other ships in other factions.
Okay, let's say there's a Rebel and Imperial version of this card. For simplicity's sake, it's all a crew slot, but they get to swap another upgrade slot. For Rebels, what upgrade slot would you want to have sideboard access to?
Oh, man. I mean, there's some cool potential in, now that we're starting to see more ordnance, torpedoes and missiles, being able to swap those out to get other torpedoes and missiles, maybe situationally. You know, in one situation, I wanted a proton torpedo, but I'm playing against a ship with a lot of shields, so I want to switch that out to a plasma torpedo. Stuff like that.
Okay, what about Imperials? Is it elite pilot talent?
Oh, see, that's some cool potential there. That's a really big list, too.
I really need that determination in my sideboard for all my ships right now.
Yeah, that would be a nice thing to have. I mean, that would really fundamentally change the way the game is played, though. I mean, just to have abilities like this that allow you to augment your list mid-game. Because that's one of the hard things about X-Wing, especially when you're looking at high-level competitive events. A lot of it is very much matchup dependent. So,
right, I mean, Veteran Instincts, that's pretty sweet. When, okay, they finally beat me on pilot skill, now I'll just go above them. Or, it's not an issue, I'll take a different elite pilot talent. That could be cool.
Yes, swap it out to a Predator or even just like a crack shot or something of comparable cost.
Imagine if you could finally take a better EPT on a Phantom because your opponent didn't bring high pilot skill ships.
That would be interesting. Start at a 7, and then if you have to swap out for a Veteran Instinct or something like that. That'd be interesting, yeah. Who knows? I guess we'll just have to see what the actual ruling is on how these kind of abilities work and see if the next couple waves of X-Wing utilize game mechanics like this.
I hope we do see cards like this for all three factions, just because as the game's progressing, it's getting so much more matchup dependent in the rock, paper, scissors elements of the game. And even though this is like a very slight tweak, I think that's enough that skilled players can utilize this so that you don't hit as many hard counters with your list and you can have more of a list that can take all comers.
Well, crew cards and epic only cards aren't the only thing that were spoiled in this article. We also got some updates for the Sick Interceptor, which you get a Sick Interceptor when you buy the Sea Rock. We had a recent update in the FAQ changing the text on the Heavy Sick Interceptor title. Still same point cost. It just changed the text slightly. It reads, Your upgrade bar gains the cannon, torpedo, or missile upgrade icon, and then they added this text, increase your hull value by one.
Yeah, so while many scum small base ships are in need of fixes, the Sick is just getting spoiled and now has two updates to it within the past 6 months.
Yeah, so we already had the heavy Sick Interceptor title come out, which we've actually seen some Sicks perform very well at regional events.
Yeah, it's brought them right back up to where they need to be. Just that extra hull point makes that a cost-effective ship, and enlists with like a Tawny Mine Link, we're seeing them being used well. Or even we saw Victor Robles fly a list with that Seismic Torpedo Seek in that annoying fortress formation, but
it got him to the final table at the Minnesota.
Yeah, it's still getting used, so that's cool.
In this article, we now have a new title, the Light Sick Interceptor, which comes at a negative 2-point cost. It is M3A Interceptor only. It is a title, and it reads, all damage cards dealt to you are dealt face up. You may treat all bank maneuvers as green maneuvers. You cannot equip modification upgrades. So there's a lot going on in this title card.
Yeah, I love the art on this where the guy's just like cutting off panels like, we don't need this. So this brings the generic 2 pilot skill Seek down from 14 points to 12. So right at the TIE Fighter or Z95 point cost, which is, of course, your swarm or just your bottom of the line. Okay, I have some extra points. We'll throw in a generic ship. But it's pretty cool. So, I mean, comparing it to a TIE Fighter because it's got pretty similar stats. It's got the 3 agility, 2 attack, and then 3 hit points. You get 1 no crit with your shield, and then 2 definite crits, which is probably about the same as a TIE Fighter's defense.
It's pretty risky, though, because, I mean, even that first damage, if you just take it to hull, it could very easily be a direct hit, and that'll just explode your Sick then and there.
Yeah, but TIE Fighters often just get that 1 crit through on the first hit, and that's crippling as well. So I feel like the trade is about even. You get a better dial with the Seek with all those green maneuvers you're getting. Plus, they have, I think that 5K is awesome on the Seek. And they have 1 banks, but no 3 turn. But they have a better action bar also.
It's just cool to see some more options, because this is always kind of what I would have hoped that the Sick would have been, this kind of adaptable starfighter. You load it out depending on what your needs are. If you want to run a stripped down mini swarm of Six, you can do that. They come in real cheap at 12 squad points after you put the Light Sick title on there. Or now you've got the Heavy Sick, which beefs them up a little bit and gives them that cannon or torpedo or missile upgrade.
Well, and now Scum's in an interesting place where the Rebels and Imperials both have 1 swarm ship at 12 points. Scum have 2 now. They have the Z95 and the Seek. I don't know. Which one do you take?
Well, I think that's going to depend very much on what these new pilots are. So we know that this set comes with their standard generic pilots, the Cartel Spacer and the Tansari Point Veteran. But there are also actually 4 new unique pilots. We just don't have any of the card text for them yet. There's a pilot skill 1, a pilot skill 3, a pilot skill 6, and a pilot skill 7 pilot card for this ship. And we just don't know what any of that card text reads.
Yeah, the image is so blurry when you try to zoom in. I can't even make heads or tails. The pilot skill 1, I can't even tell if it's unique or not.
That my best guess is it is, from what I can tell.
Logic says it is, right? Because 12 seems to be the smallest point cost they'll go on a ship. And you already have 12 points at pilot skill 2. You can't have a pilot skill 1 be more expensive.
Unless it's unique and has a really cool ability.
Right. If it's unique, is there room for it being less points than the pilot skill 2?
I think that would be reasonable. I think the only fear
you
would have is...
you can't pack more into a list because you're limited to just the 1.
Yeah, so if it was like a pilot skill 1 with some kind of small special ability and it came in real cheap, if it was unique, it's not a big deal if it comes in at 10 or 11 points. Not game-changing. Yeah, hopefully these unique pilots will shed some light and give us a better idea of what we want to use these titles for. I would expect to see an article dedicated entirely to the Sick Interceptor coming with the Sea Rock, so hopefully that'll come out closer to when that actual ship launches.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This is a sweet ship, and it looks like it's going to get a lot more neat options.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. We actually have a unique opportunity if you're interested in supporting the show in a new and interesting way. SurveyMonkey is currently collecting nominations for the 2017 Star Wars Podcast Awards. This is a great free way you can actually support Radio TCX. Nominations, we found out, close on the 9th. So when this episode goes up, if you can please submit those nominations before the end of the 9th, that would be awesome. There are a bunch of different categories here, but if you guys could throw down Radio TCX in the People's Choice category, or the Editing and Production Value category, and or favorite new show of 2016-2017, please consider typing in Radio TCX and nominating us for these podcast awards if you like our show. This would really, we'd really appreciate that, and it would help us maybe reach a even wider audience of Star Wars fans.
Well, of course, Radio TCX is my favorite gaming show that I listen to.
Yes, there's also a gaming category. I forgot about that one. Yeah, if any of these... Heck, you could put us down for all of these. Fanboy host, fangirl host, favorite in a foreign language.
You're my favorite fanboy host.
And this is my favorite foreign language podcast if you are not from a country that has English as its primary language.
I mean, do the right thing and just put Radio TCX down for everything, right? And of course, you can nominate multiple shows, so give those other podcasts that you listen to a nice shout-out as well.
Yeah, show some love for your other favorite Star Wars podcasts and even your other favorite Star Wars X-Wing podcasts. As always, if you guys would like the show, please consider going on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and liking our Facebook page.
I'm a Ryan Farmer fanboy. Oh, we moved on. You can also follow us on Twitter at RadioTCXPodcast.
If you really like the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving a 5-star review with a comment saying what you like about the show so other fans interested in this kind of podcast might know why you like Radio TCX.
And if you want to support the show directly, please go on to patreon.com/RadioTCX and become a supporter today.
Again, guys, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
So what do you think Jabba does? Do you think he takes up 4 crew slots?
It's a trap!